Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Before we start, Milwaukee!
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
Look at the gods, the drugs, the mighty interaction, and it's a sin. The gods, the beast, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Awesome!
Drink it in, man.
You just made the list.
And you can't beat that!
Top guys out.
Glorious!
We're here.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, some people call him an architect. Some people call him an inebriator in an era that is awesome. But I'll always call him DPP. Ladies and gentlemen, it's him. He's here.
Just don't call me late for dinner. Hey, man. Oh, that's terrible.
You know why I wear two pair of pants when I golf?
Why?
In case I get a hole in one. And that concludes our limit on dad jokes today.
Yes. Damn it. I'll save my one for the next show.
Yeah. All right. Something for the audience to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, we are back. We got plenty to talk about this week, and let's just tell everybody what's going on this week right away.
Well, it's the big show.
Cheat. Oh, that's very good for this week, actually, having the big show sheet.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the big show.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the big show. That's true. It's damn true. We're also going to talk about that guy who dressed it. It's true, he dressed up in a gold outfit. He looked good in that gold outfit. Yep.
Right? You should keep that going on.
Right? We'll get into that. That's one of our topics. And historic tag team matchup at Crown Jewel. The debut of the World Cup tourney. Trish and Lita are teaming up. We got to talk about Charlotte and Becky and the feud they've been having, DP. That's been just, pun intended, straight fire. And, of course, we have a heel turn by Twins, and we'll get into how Miz drove a school bus this past Tuesday on SmackDown Live and who was riding that school bus. In addition, all sorts of topics on Gimme 5, which you're just going to have to stick around to listen to. So DPP, do everybody that flavor, flav, and ring the bell. I feel like we should do this because this is where people can find us.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Thanks, Chris.
With attitude, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
if I had the availability to use all my sound bites, I'd play it.
That's all right. He's got that voice you can just hear in your head anyway.
Right.
Like. No matter what's going on, no matter how long ago you heard him or not, you can still hear him in your head.
That's exactly why he is the voice of Chairshot Radio. Because, God damn it, you can't forget that voice. It's just so intoxicating.
That's Jesus Christ, DP. Keep it together, man. Keep it together.
God. I swear it's the drugs.
And we'll talk about your drugs, too.
We should.
We'll get there. We'll definitely get there. That's a true story. All right. Let's get right into it. Let's get right into the wrestling. It's official. D-Generation X is back. Shawn Michaels will be coming out of retirement to team up with Hunter to take on the Brothers of Destruction at the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. DP, what are your initial thoughts besides the fact that I called this?
Should I? Well, let me see. Does this sound too loud?
Oh, that's perfect.
All right, good, because I had to move the bell. To make sure you could hear it properly.
DP's working under different conditions than normal, and we'll that's going to be later. Topic on Gimme Five. So stick around. You're going to have to listen to the whole damn show or fast forward to the end. Don't do that, though.
Please don't do that. Well, you can't. I don't give a shit. You can if you want. You already started listening, so I think we get credit for the download at this point. So, all right. But
that's like the that's like the critic who writes a review the next day about the comic who just came through town. Like, the comic's like, oh, I was there, people were laughing, and I'm already at the next town and have your money, so why are you writing about me now?
Right. It's too late. It's too late now. Yeah.
It's too late. I already have your money. Yeah. All right, so EP. So,
fire go.
Fire away.
So I was very excited for Raw when that happened at the beginning, because the greatest three words you would like to hear from Degeneration.
Are you ready?
Ah, it was wonderful. I mean, I know some people will shit on it because it's, you know, bringing back another old guy and it's DX again coming back. But you know what? Fuck it. We haven't seen Shawn Michaels in 8 years in the ring. I know he's held up his bargain of not coming back out of retirement. And they came up with a perfect story to have him come back, right? The guy who retired him gave him the out to come back. And yeah, you... right on the nose, you called the tag match coming. I kept telling the Dillinator here after she was watching Raw, she's like, really, Shawn Michaels, they're going to wrestle? Or like, wasn't this supposed to be one last time, Triple H and The Undertaker? I said, yeah, one last time, one-on-one. One last time, one-on-one.
Yeah. So. That's like, Kiss? You know, retirement tour, right? Haven't they had like 20 of them like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Rolling Stones have had how many, you know, tours as well that was supposed to be the final tour, and they kept coming back. I mean, you know, I get it, and I was not a fan of The Undertaker coming out of retirement, and I'm still not a fan that he did the way he did it. I'm still not going to be a fan of that, but the way they did this one I thought was great, and it gave HBK the perfect out to say, look, you know, you're disrespecting, you know, me and the whole, my staying away from, you know, coming back to the ring. So I'm going to come back and kick your ass. So it's pretty cool. And how about Shawn Michaels with the shaved head?
Yeah, not a lot of people like that.
No?
He doesn't have any hair anymore. So he wears that weird bandana that protects his head from getting creases from the cowboy hat. But when you take that off, it looks like you have like a weird, like, I don't know, man. That thing just looks weird. But go with the full bandana at least or something, right? Give him a full Hogan. I don't know. Or just get rid of it altogether. Does he maybe Bobby Lashley do a headband or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, either got to get rid of it. That one is not working because it's, the half headband thing was just weird. Because when he took the hat off, I'm like, oh, what? He's just wearing that? Where's the rest of did the rest of the headband bandana get stuck in the hat? Where did it go? Yeah, it was awkward. It was really weird. But I'm totally excited for this, and I'm loving Triple H going, you know, it's almost like, Triple H is the baby face in this picture, and The Undertaker and Kane are the heels, which is really weird that they did it that way, but, you know, it gives an intriguing reason to watch the match rather than just two, you know, legends going at it, or now four legends going at it, but, you know, it gives more of a story and a reason. Like I said, it really was the reason to get Shawn Michaels out of retirement.
Yeah, I'm not upset about it at all, and the big reason, too, is we're going to find this out instantly once the match starts and Michaels gets involved, is he can still work better than 80% of the people that wrestle professionally on major television. So, not to mention, you actually have, like, a story. You have the audience captivated and people that are able to tell a story when they come in and do a promo, and they're just out there to talk about one thing, you know? This is how you do it between The Undertaker and Hunter and Shawn. And Kane knows how to play the part of being there and filling the spots that are needed to be filled in matches, in promos, in showing character, right? Because he's going to have to do some stuff here in this next match. And I would imagine that he might even have a match at WrestleMania, you know, and him retire as well. But, you know, I called this. I knew they were going to do this. Undertaker looked too good. When he came back, Kane is still able to move, right? So Kane's back is good. Kane's legs are good. why not have them out there? There's nobody else like those guys, right? We talked about when they were gone, like Braun Strowman's the big guy around now. That's it. We're used to having all these big guys. Show was gone. Show's back now. Hopefully I'd like to see him in more stuff. But bottom line here, this is about Sean coming back and the fact that he is coming out of retirement. And no one should be complaining about that, especially now that I can play this Ric Flair line for Shawn Michaels.
I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
I think that's a great way to move on to the next subject, huh, DP? What do you think?
That sounds too sweet to me.
All right, there you go. I like it. Let's talk about this World Cup to find out who is the best in the world, apparently. We already have some participants. It's going to be an 8-man tournament, so that means we're going to get 7 matches at that show. So I feel like they already have the 3 big other matches with the 2 titles, I believe, and the triple threat with Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, correct?
Correct.
Also have the tag match we just talked about and this tournament. So that's 10 matches. Do you feel like they're going to add another match to that? Do you think we could? I think maybe one more match, but I don't think you're going to see much more than that in order to tell the real story of this tournament. They have a lot of good guys qualified already.
You're telling me you want to have one more match? I'm just kidding.
I don't think Christian can. So we'll talk about Edge shortly.
I want Edge and Christian to show up. No. Yeah, I mean, really, they seem to be hitting all the big, so far anyway, the some of the big names that they're putting into this World Cup tournament. I know, you know, they're going to have 4 superstars from SmackDown and 4 from Raw.
And let me give you the names here. Kurt Angle, John Cena, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton have already qualified.
Wait.
Randy Orton.
Who qualified? Conquistador Angle?
Sorry. As far as you know.
Yeah.
I was never here. I'm still on vacation, right?
Yeah.
As far as you know, I'm still on vacation.
Yeah, he's still on vacation. I think the Conquistador was fantastic.
let's talk about him first. Yeah, I mean, it sucks because I wish I wouldn't have known that was him before I watched it. I was getting my Sid Vicious on, as Mr. Platt would say. Tuesday night, I was playing with some of the kids from Light Palace. And I call them kids because I'm in my late 30s and they're in their early 20s, but they're great guys. And I had a good time playing with them. So that meant I got home around 9:30-ish and I watched SmackDown, on fast forward for the most part, but not really because there's a lot of great stuff. But I get home and I kind of scroll through Twitter, which I shouldn't have done, and I always do it. And someone goes, I'm pretty sure this guy in the gold suit is Kurt Angle. Now, I'm guessing I would have figured it out probably before the match was over. But not necessarily, because some of the high knee touches and forward rolls he was doing were pretty damn good. He looks like he's in really great shape right now.
He was, yeah. I didn't know when I watched it, because I usually stay away from the social medias, because I don't follow Twitter as much as I should and everything. But usually if I know I'm going to watch it like pretty quick, I'll try to avoid social media so that I don't get spoiled with some of that stuff. And I didn't know, and then when they showed all the guys and they had the Conquistador and the old gold outfit in there, I'm like, well, I know the Conquistador's winning this match, for one. And then I was like, well, who the hell?
It was Angle at any point during the match? Because this, to me, okay, so then I probably would have, too, because I feel like we're always on the same goddamn page.
Yeah, you could see, well, you could tell from the neck. I'm like, oh, boy. And then as he wore Angle's boots, he had the short boots on. I'm like, oh, that's what Angle wears. And, yeah, but he was doing his best to move around, not like Kurt Angle, but from the build and everything, you could tell. And doing the dance was fucking funny.
They should have put a wig on him.
Yeah.
On the mask. They should have given him a wig mask. That might have changed it a little bit.
Yeah, because you could tell he was a big guy, but like you couldn't really tell it was him. Yeah, well, yeah, they started to give it away towards the end there. And him doing the little cartwheel rolls and tumbles and dancing around in there, I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, he really played it well.
I thought Baron Corbin did a great job of what he's doing right now in that match, portraying his character and just being a bad guy and taking the heat there. Talk to me about your thoughts on Baron Corbin and how well he's transitioned since he's been in an authoritative position. You know, he got rid of the hair. He looks great as a bald guy. To me, his look is phenomenal. He has legitimacy with having a Division I collegiate athletic background, gold gloves. He's huge. This has got to be the number two big man in the company, right?
Well, I think they're really, from my opinion, I think they put him in this role to help him with getting over on the microphone and getting to be a better heel, because he is, you know, he never was that great on the mic. He was a good in-ring wrestler, but he wasn't getting over that well just being the bad guy wrestler. So they, you know, they put him in this role and said, you know, go get some heat. And, you know, and it, I think he's taking it and running with it right now. And definitely a huge change to cut the hair. I think that he looks way better without the hair for sure. And he's not getting those stupid jokes anymore. So that's really nice. And just the way he presents himself and the way, like you said, with the way he presented himself with this, when he came out there and he worked to get the heat before he got into the ring there and getting in there and beating the crap out of these nobodies, you know, and really getting the crowd to hate him. Being in this role has really helped with that for him. And it's perfect because he can play off, he was able to play off an angle for a while who the crowd loves and get that extra heat. And now he's transitioned that into just being himself out there getting heat, and he's doing it really well. And when he comes back to being just a full-time wrestler, it's going to be, I think it's going to be great for him. And it's a chance because he is, yeah. How many more big guys do we really have right now? Not many. And he's one of them.
Oh, if you take Kane and Taker and Big Show out of it, because basically they're not full-time guys anymore. Like the Undertaker Kane is a part-time storyline. It's great. And one point I wanted to make before, when you're talking about like part-time stuff and things of that nature, and people should be happy like that these guys are wrestling and stuff, because they're making a lot of money for WWE that they're going to be able to spend here in the near future on a lot of guys that you want to see in WWE that you're enjoying all around the world in other federations, if you will. I mean, you're going to see the WWE able to spend some money. I mean, it's why we're going to talk about Rey Mysterio here shortly, I think, because WWE was finally able to go, fine, we can give you that much money now for those few dates because, yeah, we're going to make money on it because we have the money to spend on it right away. We don't have to worry about that. The last thing I wanted to say, though, before we move on from Angle qualifying for the World Cup is maybe, just maybe, Greg DeMarco, Baron Corbin no longer sucks.
Ooh.
I'm just asking him the question. Maybe he no longer sucks. Maybe. Maybe he's lukewarming up to them. I don't know what that means, really. He might, but, you know.
It's odd.
Is it odd? All right, John Cena automatic qualifier. John Cena was on the Jimmy Fallon show earlier this week, I believe Tuesday or Wednesday. So go to YouTube and check that out. It was pretty hilarious, talking about how he's filming a great new action comedy with Jackie Chan. That's where he got his sixth move of doom from. And they play a fun game of what's in the box. So check that out. I always like to throw out little things. I watch a lot of TV and a lot of media stuff. So anything I find fairly funny, I want to get to you. So John Cena's in. They said he didn't have to qualify. Apparently Michael Cole is like the guy who props up John Cena now, because every time he says his name, he says, in my opinion, the greatest champion of all time. Right. Every time he says his name, right? You heard that.
What the fuck is that all about? Yeah, what are they trying to sell here?
Get Michael Cole in here. Cole, Cena's not going to be around, so we're going to need you to suck his dick while he's gone.
You tell everybody he's the greatest champion in the world, goddammit. And nobody makes fun of his hair.
Jeff Hardy qualifies for the World Cup, taking the win over injured Samoa Joe. Is Samoa Joe really injured?
I don't think so. I think they're you know, selling the storyline. Maybe he makes an appearance at Crown Jewel and interferes in that match. Maybe we end up getting a fatal four-way out of that whole thing. Because I can't imagine Daniel Bryan winning the title just yet. I could see them building up a fatal four-way into that at some point. It's a way to keep him out of the tournament. I don't think so.
There's someone that is really... Kevin Owens is apparently knee injury, right? That's legit. I haven't had a lot of time to pay attention to the real news lately. I've just been keeping up the actual product. So, folks, we apologize if we're not as up to date on the actual happenings behind the scenes. But I know Kevin Owens is going to need surgery on a knee. Hopefully Samoa Joe isn't hurting. That's an angle. Maybe that... I can see a lot of run-ins on this World Cup tourney thing, too.
For sure. Oh, most definitely. It's a perfect way to set up some storylines, for sure.
But I like Jeff Hardy being in the tournament. I like him to at least make a semifinal. I think he's going to wrestle at least a couple matches. Go ahead.
To add on to that, it's going to be interesting to see who the other four are, to see what they decide to do. Because you've got some, they're going big names here, obviously. It's not just going to be... I thought that maybe this would be the replacement of King of the Ring or something, but it's not, really, because they're going with, the big-name guys. So it's something different. And
World Cup could be the big-name guys, and the King of the Ring maybe could be kick-started sometime in the summer during the dead months, in my opinion, would be a great time to do it for younger guys to work their way towards maybe a SummerSlam title shot or something.
Yeah, that could work.
I was definitely, and you know this for a fact, rooting so hard for the Big Show to beat Randy Orton. Because I love watching Big Show. I think it would have been really cool to see him maybe get all the way to the finals, tire out, and put somebody over in the final of that tournament. I'm sure there's other great ways to do that tournament. But how did you feel about Big Show being back and wrestling Randy Orton? Were you also hoping for Big Show to be in that tournament?
I was. I share the sentiment. I love the Big Show. I think he's awesome, and it was great to see him back. I'm really excited that he came back here. I was really hoping for something a little bigger for him. No pun intended. But but he's one of those guys you can put in whatever spot and he's going to perform for. And yet, man, he looked really good. He looked like he still stayed in great shape. He was moving around really well, and he's going to be a great guy to have in there for, just big type of matches where he can do that, put guys over. And obviously this World Cup tournament is not a place where you're going to put a guy over. So, I wasn't disappointed either way because Orton and Big Show both kind of deserve to be in there. So I wasn't disappointed that he lost, but I'm glad that he's back and I'm hoping he's more regular, not every week necessarily, but obviously more regular now that he's back from, the hip surgery and everything, and that he's feeling better, and he looks like he can still move quite well around in the ring, so let's keep him out there.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say I didn't want Orton to be involved either, that I was rooting like strictly against Orton or anything like that, but I have a soft spot for the Big Show. I really like the big guys. I don't understand why they don't use that more, especially in downtimes. Like, you come off of WrestleMania and you do your first couple pay-per-views and you usually have a pretty good hot streak, but why not on that second one after give it to the big guy and let him dominate the summer? Who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him? Who's going to beat him? And then give a big rub, And that's something I feel like they don't do with the titles before. I know we've talked about last year at this point, people losing or keeping titles and giving big rubs to people. And I think it was last year was like Miz with the IC title. Like he held it this long and gave it away, got it back and then gave it away again. And it was like, man, just let him keep it forever, And finally at Mania, give some, like, that could have been whoever. That could have been Adam Cole, baby, taking the IC, something like that, But
yep.
I don't know. It's easy for me to get off tangent here. The last thing I want to talk about with World Cup is going to be, and Randy Orton. I've heard somewhere he's, like, top 12 or something. Anyway, Shinsuke Nakamura is scheduled to face Rey Mysterio Jr. in a World Cup qualifying match next week on a topic we need to talk about right here and right now. Folks, it is the 1,000th episode of SmackDown. So I sent out a tweet, and I was like, I'm not sure if it is 3 hours or not next week, actually. I can check right now, though. I can check right now, though, on the guide. But how do you feel about the fact that Shinsuke versus Rey Mysterio? What were the first thoughts in your brain? I'm like, holy fuck, I can't wait to see this goddamn match.
Dude, that's like one of those you thought you might never see. I'm not going to use the cliche term because I hate it, but I'm just... it's so exciting to see...
Before they might have, and I have no fucking clue, but I haven't seen it.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, maybe they wrestle in Japan or something like that, or wherever. And you know, but fuck, I want to see it. It's just like seeing AJ Styles and Samoa Joe again, because yeah, they did it in TNA or whatever, but they didn't do it in WWE, and it's a different aspect. It's a whole different atmosphere, and it's a guy who can bring out the very best of Shinsuke Nakamura that we haven't been able to see since NXT as well. So I'm really excited to see that happen too, and to see Rey Mysterio back in a WWE ring, because it's been far too goddamn long. I'm so happy that they got a deal worked out, and hopefully, you know, I don't know what, I guess I didn't read the details. I don't know the whole thing. Is it just a Legends deal, you know, where he comes and does a couple matches, and it's just for, to get him on the video games? Because I know he's one of the downloadable characters now. Like, oh, you buy it early, you can get Rey Mysterio as a downloadable character. And I'm hoping it's not just that. I want to see him back more. I hope he's feeling well. The few times I have seen him, he looks great still. He was awesome in the Royal Rumble when he came back. So I want to see him. I want to see him back as a regular superstar. It's awesome. I got to imagine he's going to win this match to get into the World Cup tournament, because of the way they're building this World Cup. But, man, that match... it has the potential to be just amazing, and I'm really hoping they let them go and do what they can do and just make it that awesome.
No, I agree with everything you said there. I'm looking forward to it. As I said, a few other things big happening on SmackDown 1000. Obviously, The Undertaker will be there. I'm hearing that Michelle McCool will also be making an appearance and possibly leading to a storyline towards the Women's Evolution pay-per-view, which we will be getting very much into in depth next week, right here on the podcast known as DW Izzle. No? Yes? Izzle? Like that? Izzle?
Izzle?
Like HB Shizzle? DW Izzle?
D-Wizzle?
D-Wizzle?
That's terrible.
Batista will be at SmackDown 1000 for an Evolution reunion.
Woo!
Ring the bell on that one. And we will also not Captain Charisma. I'm sorry, okay? That's not who's going to be here. But we will have...
I hate you. I hate you.
I wonder if Cena will be.
I hate your hat. Awesome. I hate this. Your t-shirts. I hate your wristbands. I hate your shoes. I hate your music. I hate the C Nation. I hate everything that you stand for.
The Rated R Superstar will be back with The Cutting Edge.
Is he bringing Tony Chimmel with him?
Oh, he's got to be. Tony Chimmel, yeah. He's got to do the whole show, right?
He's got to, right?
He's the most synonymous with SmackDown is as announcer, you know, ring announcer. It's got to be Tony Chimmel.
That's got to be.
Our Superstar!
He's got, if he doesn't do the intro for Edge, I'm going to be very disappointed. At least for that segment. That's all I would care.
Most definitely.
I mean, they brought back Howard Finkel, you know, for the historic, you know, WWE shows or the what do they call them? The old WWF, you know, alumni shows. Why not bring back Tony Chimmel for 1000 SmackDown? Come on.
Raw old school?
Old school. Yeah, that's the words.
School Raw. There you go. So, yeah, definitely. I was saying before, I was hoping WWE would do 3 hours special, but it's 2 hours on my programming on the television. So wow.
That's like 2 hours. Kind of surprising.
But at the same time, SmackDown has been more effective in my mind a lot of weeks, not all weeks, and mainly because of the time, 2 hours as opposed to 3 hours. There's a lot of stuff that you can just really skip over on Raw.
So let me ask you then, because since we're coming up to it, what's your? They've shown some moments in SmackDown history. Do you have one that sticks in your head that this is your favorite moment from SmackDown history? Is there one or a couple that you can think of that's like, that's the one, that's the first one I think of?
I'm pretty sure that this happened on, I know this happened on SmackDown. It's when Steve Austin was chucking beers up the ramp at Kurt Angle. It's the
oldest. Yes!
And I can never find that episode on the network. I don't know what episode it was.
I was going to look it up too. I want to find it. That's my number one.
And it's the old SmackDown thing with the white rings above the thing, right? Yep. That go out and out. And like, Austin's in the ring, and like Angle like comes out and he won't go away. And so Austin just starts throwing full cans of unopened beer at Angle.
Yep, that's my first one too, because that, man, that's so fucking funny. And Angle's just trying to dodge him. Like, what the hell are you doing?
I don't really remember anything else, though, being specifically SmackDown or Raw a lot. For me, it all runs together. You know, like, we've literally seen every episode of Raw and SmackDown, folks. Like, literally, DP and I have seen every episode of Raw and SmackDown. And DP's probably seen every single pay-per-view. I think I've seen maybe 95% of them. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
That's probably accurate. There might have been one or two I missed there. In the mid to late 90s, I think. But if not, I went back and watched them because I had every one of them on VHS tape. So
for me, you can throw in a lot more WCW pay-per-views on top of that.
You got me definitely beat on WCW. I never watched the pay-per-views for WCW, but I would just watch Monday night.
I had access.
Yes. Indeed.
For a period of time.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, what about, like, just people that you associate with SmackDown? Teddy Long, right? Right away.
Teddy Long,
Teddy Long. I think of The Rock. It was The Rock show.
I think
of Edge a lot, being the champion on SmackDown, when they were the better show, when it was about who was the better show, and they were kind of like, it was actually a thing, you know, not just a story.
Yeah. I think of Eddie Guerrero a lot for SmackDown. I think he was bigger on SmackDown than Raw, coming out with all the different cars.
Those were on SmackDown a lot, I think, right? I remember Benoit being on SmackDown too. The Radicals?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, Benoit, Perry Saturn, Dean Malenko. Yeah, those guys were bigger on SmackDown.
And Moppy.
And Moppy. And Moppy.
That was WCW, right?
No, he did Moppy on WWE.
Oh, that's right. Yep, that's right.
He did Moppy. That was great.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the special. It's going to be great. And let's do this smooth little transition here. Two women who have definitely been on SmackDown, Trish and Lita, now instead of singles matches, and a lot of people think that this was going to be the case the entire time, that this was going to be a tag match. I don't know. I don't really care. I kind of like it better as a tag match than as opposed to two singles matches. Trish and Lita teaming up to take on Alexa and Mickey. Your thoughts on this turning into a tag match, and then your thoughts on how Trish and Lita looked on Raw.
Well, they looked fantastic. I mean, Jesus. And they look, and wrestling wise too, I think they looked in great shape. But I didn't know if this was really going to be a tag match initially. I kind of wondered, I don't know why, you know, Alexa Bliss didn't seem to fit in. In that,
could
I was really
case that why this is a tag match as well.
I think the reason it was a tag match is the injury. Alexa Bliss is hurt. Yeah, well, that's why I'm agreeing
as
with you.
Current is usually defined as a flow of electricity through a conductor or, alternatively, a steady flow of a fluid, usually from natural causes. As an adjective, current can mean occurring in or belonging to the present time.
Oh, thank you. That would be Miss Bliss.
I didn't know we were going to have Alexa on the show.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. It comes out of nowhere, just like an RKO. And so, you know, she's been hurt, apparently. So I see why they kind of make this into a tag match. And if you watch Raw, you could see how, you know, she didn't get involved when the brawl happened. She rolled out of the ring and got out of the way, I think. So they're really kind of trying to protect her. I was kind of hoping it was going to be Trish Stratus and Mickie James. I mean, they had a huge history going back. I mean, obviously Trish and Lita have the huge history as well, but at least Mickie, right now Mickie's a current, still wrestling full time, even though she's in, you know, one of the older wrestlers. But they had that huge history, the way Mickie came in and was the whole, you know,
stalker.
Stalker. Yeah, I looked up to Lita or to Trish and wanted to be her and everything, and that was a great storyline back in the day, and they could have played off of that and had them two wrestle each other again. But I'm absolutely fine with it being a tag match, and it certainly protects Miss Bliss. I won't say her first name so that the stupid thing doesn't go off. And it also protects Trish and Lita because they don't have to carry a whole match one-on-one. Obviously, they haven't been in the ring in quite a while, so it certainly helps there. And I'm absolutely fine with that, this being a tag match, no problem. And I think it's still going to be great, and it gives you that nostalgia as well to have them two be back in the ring, two Hall of Famers. It's awesome.
Lita looks great. I loved her look. I loved that she was wearing, you know, the flats, the old slip-on sneaks and stuff like that. She was wearing the flat shoes and the plaid pants. I love how they teased the moonsault.
Yes.
That was perfect. And they both look great, right? Everybody, I'm looking forward to this match. I think everybody is. Another match everybody, I believe, is looking forward to is going to be Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella. DP, was this the right way to go, turning the Bellas heel, or should we add a face versus face thing here? And does that mean that this story is going to be over sooner than later, considering we could have had them face versus face and turn them heel at the match?
I think it's going to be over sooner than later. I think this might be just a one-off thing. I don't expect the Bellas to be back that long. I like that it's a heel babyface. I think it adds more to the story than just having the two faces. Obviously, a heel babyface match is, you can tell a better story than two faces, you know, going at it. I'm intrigued that they did that, considering they're still trying to sell the television shows. You're trying to sell Total Bellas, and now you're making them heels. You know, that's kind of something they don't normally do with WWE. They don't try and have the heel and like, hey, watch my show. By the way, I hate you fuckers, you know?
Well, this brings me to a very special thing that's close to my heart. It's time for another edition of, well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
DP, yes or no? Considering Brie Bella also turned heel with Nikki, is Daniel Bryan now disappointed in her?
I was not ready for that question. I don't think so, brother.
Yeah, that's just your opinion. And that concludes another edition.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Can't wait to see Ronda versus Nikki Bella. I think it's going to be a great match. I think Nikki's really going to shine in this match, just because I know Ronda, she has to be unbelievably adaptable. The way she's become, Kurt Angle is the only person I can think of that comes in from a non-wrestling background, you know, professional wrestling background, and gets it that quick, right? I mean, Ronda was getting torn apart the first couple times on TV, and rightfully so. But now, the way she carries herself, the way she brings legitimacy to moves in the ring and things of that nature in different matches, I'd love to see them have a 15-minute, 20-minute classic, you know? And obviously, they should obviously get that much time. I'd like to see it in the ring, though. I don't want to see the outside interference. I want to see these two girls have a great wrestling match inside the ring. These two women.
I hope they keep it that way, and they can, especially if they're, you know, if this is kind of the only match they're really going to have to have that outside interference. And you're right, they should get 15 to 20. If this doesn't close the show, there's one other one that will, so they should definitely have that opportunity to showcase what they can do. And I'll send this out to our friends that follow us on Twitter, if you can think of any other ones. But the only ones, like you mentioned there, that I can think of that came from a different background, Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle, the only other one I could think of is Ken Shamrock. When he came in, and was...
He was almost instantaneously amazing. Good, though.
Yeah. And
Kurt Angle was not that great his first night out. No. Remember, I remember us watching that the first night. Because, let's put it this way. In case you didn't know, DP and I watched Raw together basically the entire Attitude Era.
Pretty much, yeah. And then some. And then some. And then post-Attitude Era for...
No, it wasn't that bad.
What a rush.
That was more crusty than Legion of Doom.
Crusty Doom, I don't know what that But yeah, if you guys could think of any other ones, send it to us on Twitter. Greatest team never with an 8. Men and never.
Yeah, GR8est team never. Or find me at PC Tony, him at It's Me DPP. You can also check us out at Podcast DWI on the Twitter. And make sure you go check out thechairshot.com for all your wrestling news and information. And there's a whole bunch of good podcasts on there, including ours.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You brought up another match that might highlight or main event, definitely highlight that pay-per-view, but main event, and that's our next topic. And it's a feud that's really, in my opinion, I know I sent out a tweet on Tuesday. I'm like, these two can wrestle every Tuesday, in my opinion, just because what they're doing right now is amazing. They have a double count out, and it's awesome. So we're talking about Charlotte and Becky. DP, how'd you like them using the stage there and getting, you know, the spear through the top of the stage and the old Titantron-ish entrance area?
I love it. I love it. It's great. It's perfect. It's a great way to just cement how physical and how emotional this feud is between these two, because they were, you know, the best friends, and the other one turns and, you know, doesn't understand why, and it's getting heated, and to the point that they're, you know, they're just brawling outside and they don't give a shit what happened with the count, and they're just going to destroy each other. It was the perfect way to accent where they're going into this Evolution pay-per-view. And how do you feel, when I get to ask you a question, about the stipulation, last woman standing?
So does rule.
Yeah, they do.
I feel like the opposite of that. I'm tired of last man standing matches, but I think Vince went, let's have our first ever last woman standing match. That's the only way to settle this feud.
I was really hoping for a submission match.
Probably going to get that, too.
Probably.
I don't. It'll be fine. It's going to be a great match. Like I said, I can watch them wrestle every week. I'm just not a fan of that match. The ending is slow and not. But it'll be something different. It'll be something different in that evening. It'll add some flavor. It'll add some mixture. It'll be a good mix for the evening that way. There's my silver lining.
There you go. I think it's. I think it gives the opportunity, yeah, because I'm not a fan of that type of ending either. It also gives an opening to have another match. There, obviously, this isn't going to be the last match. It can't be, because you can have some shenanigans at the end that causes the woman to stay down for a 10 count. You can have an interference. You can have them dump a table on the other one, or, you know, different types of things like that. There could still be controversy.
And fun.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Yeah, your shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
I swear to God, I'm going to pistol whip the next guy who says shenanigans.
Can't get a liter of cola. And another topic. So, yeah, no, I think we're both on the same page here. Regardless of what kind of stupid match they're put in, Charlotte and Becky are going to make it work. I'm really looking forward to the all-women's pay-per-view. I think it's going to be a great new aspect for WWE to have, and I think they should do it at least twice a year, to be honest with you. You're going to have all these extra specials and everything. Give me great women's pay-per-view wrestling at least twice a year now.
I'm not with that. I mean,
they have the women and the characters and the storylines to support it. You throw in the NXT title match, too, the May Women's Classic. final. I mean, there's plenty to watch there. I'm looking forward to it more than three or four pay-per-views that they've already had this year.
I tell you what, I'm definitely looking forward to it more than I watched the Super Showdown, I'll tell you that, because, I mean, I may have been the meds I'm on, but I fell asleep twice trying to watch that thing. So,
I think it's the meds. It wasn't all that right. bad. It wasn't great.
All right. It was...
Let's transition back to the men's side and our last wrestling topic today is going to be Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. That's going to be a championship match. I'm kind of disappointed. But my point here is going to be how on Miz TV, in a company where storyline is king, took Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles to school. I mean, he was the bus driver in that segment, DP.
Do we not agree now that he is like the greatest heel in WWE right now?
Oh, I've been on that for a while. Yeah, we both have. Like, he just knows hating him. And the fact is that people want to like him, and they do. It's like you could turn him face anytime you wanted to, and he'd be there, and he could do that great too. And it's even harder to be face, right? But it's even harder when people want to like you and you keep them booing you. And showing AJ and Daniel and making that match of theirs even more intriguing, I'll tell you right now, he's going to interfere in that match. We're going to have a triple threat at some point. Daniel Bryan and The Miz was cut short not because of time. It's their fucking network. They can go as long as they want, idiots. It was cut short because there's more to this story and they're not going to give you that fucking match away in Australia. They gave away enough. This is going down the road. These three guys could go at it till WrestleMania, in my opinion. And what a payoff that would be, right? For Daniel Bryan to finally win the title from The Miz at WrestleMania after going through this triple threat here, Miz and AJ coming back, maybe fighting AJ again, and then requalifying to fight Miz or something like that. But in my opinion, Miz needs to get this title sooner than later, hopefully by Royal Rumble, and just give the ultimate rub to some kind of babyface, hopefully Daniel Bryan, at WrestleMania. DP, your thoughts on this whole scenario that I'm throwing out there, and what do you think is going to happen?
It was pretty close to my scenario when we talked about this a couple weeks ago of what was going to happen with the Miz and Daniel Bryan when they had the qualifying match. I kind of thought the Miz would win it, you know, in some kind of shenanigans. Oh, he said it again. Yeah. Don't do it. And then winning the title from AJ and carrying it.
Of course, do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Sorry.
do. And, you know, carrying that title to WrestleMania where Daniel Bryan finally defeats The Miz at WrestleMania. So they're going about it in a little roundabout way. I still think that's going to be the outcome. I 100% on board with you there. We're going to get some kind of triple threat. I think they may throw Samoa Joe in there, and we'll have a fatal four-way somewhere along the line, too. And Miz gets this title. I agree with you. It's got to be sooner than later, so he holds on to this thing and can milk it for as long as he can because he's great at it. And not wait till Royal Rumble to give it to him. I imagine Daniel Bryan's going to finally get his Royal Rumble victory and challenge The Miz. Boom, we're off and running on the way to WrestleMania, on the road to WrestleMania.
Well, why not? Daniel Bryan earns his WrestleMania main event. Miz wins the title and collision course, right? That's true there.
And you could do it too. If you, what's that?
Synergy, symmetry.
Synergy. I could use a big word.
Symmetric synergy?
I could see them closing Royal Rumble out with The Miz winning the title, and out comes Daniel Bryan after he won the Royal Rumble. There, yeah. And that's how you close the show. So.
Ring the bell. I think we're done talking about wrestling. What do you think?
Sounds delightful.
I think it's time for what you drinking?
Oh, we can do that. I gotta reach it.
Drink it in, man. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I got more in the trunk. Next time I'm drunk.
ago when I with fucking beer. I'm gonna have another until I see
clear.
Hey! Thanks for finishing that for me.
This week,
I am drinking a Voodoo Ranger IPA, New Belgium Brewing Company. Beautiful. I finally went to Total Wine the other weekend, DP.
How was
it? You know, you've been a couple times. Loved it. I didn't know they had a bar inside the Total Wine place.
Fucking everything.
I mean, I went there at 10 a.m. in the morning, right when they opened, though. So
how many did you have then?
None. Still a fair question, though. Just so to let everybody know about me, I'm early riser. I'm off Sundays mostly, and that's the day I went there. They opened at 10 in the morning. I'm usually up before 6 a.m., and that's like when I like to go grocery shopping right away when there's no one there. Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. So
phenomenal.
Then I had to come home and wait to go out there. But, boy, man, two aisles of craft beers. I loved it. I found a black IPA out there, too. I haven't been able to find it. Yeah. So I'm drinking the Voodoo Ranger. DP, you're not drinking right now, and we'll get into that on our last topic of Gimme 5 when we get to Gimme 5. So what are you drinking?
I got a little peach mango juice in here. I think it's...
I thought you were going to say pee. I thought you were recycling. you said pee. You did that. It looks, folks, it's close. No, there's not exact, but it's close. And I got a pee, and I was like, oh, no.
That's quite cloudy.
It's your own pee, huh?
Well, you know, okay. I couldn't get up there for a while, so I peed in the cup.
What? I just... peach mango what?
Peach mango juice. It's like a... I don't know if it's not Welch's, but one of those...
Is it tart? The tart?
No, it's delicious.
Is it?
It's fucking good. Maybe, man.
Do you think it would pair well with vodka?
Oh, fuck yeah.
All right. Maybe, well, that's another edition of... You just witnessed another edition of What You Drinking.
I found my new drink, I think.
All right, folks. It's time for everybody's favorite new segment right here on the podcast known as DWI. Gimme 5.
And now, the group you've all been waiting for... The Lovers of Five!
Hi, I'm David. And I'd like to tell you about my favorite number, which is the number five. And the number five is my favorite number because it has one straight line here. And then it has a round line on the bottom here. And then it has another line on the top. I love singing about the number five.
Give me five. Ah, give me five.
Give me five.
Give me one, two, three, four. Give me five.
Give me
five. Give me one, two, three, four. But if you love me more, give me five.
That's right, PC Tunny. It's time for Give Me Five, so give me one.
I can give you one. It's something that I stumbled upon. I seen some promos on ESPN for it. I tried to do recording. It just aired. It started on Tuesday on ESPN, and little backstory, as I always like to give. I couldn't record it because I had too many shows recording, and I only have so many lines into the back of my DVR, right? So I think The Flash was on and SmackDown and This Is Us. So, yes, folks, I watched This Is Us on NBC. Big surprise. Wrestling guy watches family drama. The Flash is probably not that much of a surprise. A lot of wrestling fans are comic book fans. But if you haven't seen The Flash or This Is Us, The Flash on CW and This Is Us on NBC, both great shows. There's a documentary, and it's a really long documentary, and it's called Basketball, A Love Story. And it's on ESPN, and it's going to air, I believe, on Tuesdays as we move forward, an hour or two at a time. There were 4 hours. The first 4 hours aired this past Tuesday. But if you download the ESPN Watch app, if you love basketball or you played basketball or you really are just into the NBA right now, but DP, it starts from the origins of basketball with James Naismith at a YMCA in Canada where he puts the peach baskets up on each side, and it was nine players a side, and it was basically wrestling basketball back then. There was no dribbling. You know, you could take one step and you had to pass the ball. And it evolved into this thing where there were professional teams and clubs and college clubs and everything else, like in the 20s and 30s. Think about how, like, Ultimate Frisbee kind of evolved there, and there was all these wrestling clubs and championships, only it became a national sport, like ended up getting televised, having its own league and becoming the NBA. But it just really talks about these legends of the game. You get Bill Russell and Bob Cousy and Jerry West and John Havlicek. And then you get into the modern era where the ABA would merge with the NBA and Dr. J. And all along the way, they're going to have little in-betweens with modern-day players as they work their way forward. And DP, this is probably like 30 hours. I believe there was interviews with 60 different people, and they just kind of edited it up into the time frame there and they have different, you know, little clips of this and that. But if you're a basketball fan, this is something you definitely need to check out.
Yeah, I'm excited to take a look at it. And I've seen some of the commercials, and they talked about seeing some of the guys and how they used to go out, you know, out in the rain and shoot baskets, or you know, taking a coat hanger and hanging it up and using socks, you know, and throwing it against the, you know, the door and they were in their room to just to take shots, you know, using that kind of stuff, for having, you know, that square basket and no backboard that they had to use. You know, you had the old milk carton basket that they just hook up and you're shooting hoops into that. No backboards. It had to go straight in. Otherwise, you're fucked.
That's LeBron. That was LeBron. Story in the promo was that his first basket, he nailed a milk crate to a telephone pole, and there was no backboard, so you just had to shoot straight in.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're chasing the ball or whatever, and yeah, that's just cool to hear a lot of those stories from the superstars, you know, that and how they got going and what they used to do, and you know, kids watching that, you know, need to think about that. Think about the hard work they're putting in, and that's what they do all the time. And they're, you know, whatever they can do to shoot hoops is what they did, and that's how they got to be as great as they are. And that's really cool. And I'm looking forward to start watching that. I saw that thing, and it's very exciting to see. And I'm really looking forward to getting into it. I'm gonna download the app for sure. I have the PlayStation View since I recently cut the cord on DirecTV, so I'll log in and I'll be watching that. That'll be a great thing to watch since I'm home 24/7 basically right now. So it's add that to the list of my watch list. So that's gonna be awesome. So there you go. Moving on, PC Tunny. Give me two.
Well, let's stick with basketball, and if you haven't heard, Jimmy Butler with the Minnesota Timberwolves either wants to get paid or wants to get traded. And I can't really blame the guy. They've kind of been dicking around with him. So he can't get paid on his current contract unless he shows up to practice. So he showed up to practice. And from what I heard, he basically took the last four guys on the bench against the starters, whooped their ass. And while walking out the gym, yelled to the GM, "You fucking need me. You can't win without me," and left. So, Jimmy, straight from Milwaukee, so Marquette fans watch to play and grow up and play ball there. Get yours, brother, man. You deserve it. I mean, I love that. I think that's great, you know. And I agree. You know, pay the guy or let him go. You're paying Andrew Wiggins, you're paying Karl-Anthony Towns, but the most important part of your team up there is Jimmy Butler if you want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's tough. You know? He is the fucking guy, you know, and he's proven himself. And, yeah, one of those guys that deserves to get paid for sure. It's funny when you told me that. I didn't hear the whole story, so when you told me the story, it was just so fucking funny. But it's great, right? It's fucking, yeah, boom, here, motherfuckers. This is how good I am. Pay me my fucking money. You know, he's proven himself, right? I mean, that's what you got to do is you go out there and prove yourself. And obviously he's done that, and he kind of just stuck it to him, too. Just one time, one extra little, you know, shot in the ass. Fuck you guys. You know, here you go. Pay me money. It's going to be interesting if they don't trade him. How do you play that guy and your team when he just did that to you?
Oh, and you got to bring him back into the, you know, bring him back into the office and be like, okay, yeah, you know, here we are. Here's your money. Yeah. Shut the fuck up now and play or get rid of him, you know.
I'm on with that. I mean, I agree with him. Like, he, you know, proved himself, you know, in a way, that way. But when you do that, how do you keep that guy on your team? I kind of think at this point you have to get rid of him and let him go get paid somewhere, right?
That's yeah. You know, that's just like your opinion, man.
DP, let's slide it on. And why don't you give me three?
I'll give you three. I'll give you a hometown team that is killing it.
Straight, baby!
And working their way to a championship series. I'm talking about, we're talking baseball. We are talking the Milwaukee Brewers and how they are killing it and how they unleashed fucking hell on those goddamn Cubs to win the division, come back and destroy Colorado in amazing fashion with pitching, which I didn't see coming. You know, not necessarily hitting, but man, they pitched amazing for three games and are in the championship series. We are one series away from the World Series. This is amazing.
You talk about their pitching, 27 out of 28 scoreless innings, three games, one extra innings game where they played. And they've had some clutch hitting, too, in key situations to stay ahead. They had, in those three games, they had no pitcher pitch more than five innings, and they only gave up a run. They gave up two runs in one single inning. It was Jeremy Jeffers.
Jeffers gave it up in that game one.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
And found a great offensive team like that in Colorado, which is really deep in their lineup, you know, with guys, you know, Arenado and Story and
Holiday.
Holiday, obviously, still a you know, a guy that needs to be respected at the plate. But let's look at the other side. The Dodgers closing out a really good Atlanta team.
That was really surprising.
And that Atlanta didn't put up a better fight, right? I mean, you thought Atlanta might come out there, and the fact that they didn't hit that great, and you saw the Dodgers come out and have clutch hits as well. I mean, they have great players, Kemp, Weig, and obviously the rest of that outfield, you know, Jock Peterson, and I'm thinking Bellinger, guys of that nature, Grandal, Machado, obviously, right? So Manny. Do you think it's right that I'm pretty sure the Brewers are the underdog in this series with home field advantage?
I wouldn't call them the underdog necessarily. I'm guessing they're probably labeled as the underdog because they're the smaller market team, really. But the Dodgers were hitting. That's the interesting thing is right now, you know, the Brewers there at the beginning of that Colorado series weren't hitting the ball that great. And the pitching was what was actually saving them. And the Dodgers came out in Atlanta and were hitting really well and getting runs in. And that's the part that's the scary part, is the Brewers have to start hitting the ball better to keep up with that. If, you know, if that pitching stays hot, then we're okay if we can shut them down. But the Dodgers are playing really well, too. So, you know, I wouldn't say they're necessarily the underdog. I mean, at least my opinion, but you are the better baseball expert than I am.
I don't really have an opinion on that. It's baseball. Baseball is a game of I'm hoping this winning streak doesn't run out because right now you're due to lose. You've won 11 in a row. Right. So that being said, I just want to remind everybody here in the great city of Milwaukee that your local George Webb Diners will be having free hamburgers if they can win the first two games of this series, because that'd be 13 in a row. And that's when you eat hamburgers. And I just wanted to let everybody know, last time that happened, I went twice. I was five. I think five, six. No, I wasn't six yet. It was before May of 87. It was April. So take that and rewind it back. A little PC and got a couple cheeseburgers and threw them back. But we're hoping that happens again. Let's slide it on over to the junior circuit side, DP. The Boston circuit. Red Sox and the Houston. It is. The National League is the senior circuit.
Nice.
Ever heard that before?
No, I've never heard that before.
It's not a slight. It's not a slight.
That's awesome. I love it.
The American League will feature the Boston Red Sox and the Houston Astros, and probably the two best teams over the course of the season, easily. Obviously, it reflects in their record. Great pitching stabs, obviously great lineups hitting-wise. I don't know. We've both been Red Sox fans. I do like a lot of players on the Houston team, but let's talk about this. Would you rather see the entire league go with a DH, or would you like to keep it separate where the pitchers hit in the National League?
My personal opinion, I want to see a DH. I don't like seeing the pitchers pitch. I don't like seeing the pitchers pitch, so let's just let them do it. Jesus Christ. Jeezy crazy. I don't want to see the pitchers bat. I don't want to see it. I'd rather see a DH in there.
The Brewers are set up with a nice extra couple hitters right now, right?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, exactly. That helps, too, and that's surprising, you know, for a team that plays in, you know, the National League where they have to have the pitcher bat. But I'd rather see the DH. I just don't like to see pitchers at bat. They don't hit very well. I mean, obviously, you know, the best ones are, what, maybe batting 180, you know, at best. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's just not, you know, you come up there and you almost basically say, well, that's an easy out, you know, and I don't like that. You know, it can kill a rally, it can kill things. It certainly gives a strategy. I can see that. You know, especially watching the playoffs here where, okay, do I want to take that pitcher out and bring a batter in? Well, that means I have to replace the pitcher now when the next inning starts. And it certainly changes strategies a bit. So I get that part. I just don't want to see them bat. I don't know. I think it can kill things when it comes to rallies and things like that where you don't want to take your pitcher out because he's doing so well. And that's just my opinion, man.
There you go. There you go. Let's slide it on over here and move on to the next topic, DP. What do you think? We're not going to make any predictions on the rest of the baseball season.
So. No, we'll wait. We'll wait till see what happens there. I was just disappointed that we didn't get to see the Braves play the Brewers because that would have been really cool because they used to be the Milwaukee Braves again. You know, so it would have been neat to see that. But anyway,
Ring the bell in.
So, moving on. BZ, Tony. How about you give me four?
Let's talk a little UFC. Conor McGregor and Khabib, I'm not going to attempt to say his last name, had an excellent match. I think it's Nurmagomedov or something like that.
Well, bless you.
I don't have it in front of me, so if I did a good job there, you're welcome. If I didn't, just deal with it.
He's probably not listening.
What did WWE seen? We have this fight. Khabib goes over, takes Conor out, I believe it was fourth round, taps out, and then the rest of the fight continues in the crowd. I mean, this is total Vince McMahon shit, right?
I mean, come on. What else is this? Is this not staged? Can we not agree that this was whole work? Now, I mean, give me a break.
Up because Conor and his crew flew from Ireland to attack his crew, and he threw a window, and the guys have glass breaking on them, and the authority, they saw him running out of there up the ramp at a press conference, and then after they actually fight, it spills out in the crowd, and he goes out and hits his number one guy. It's like, are we setting up Conor versus Khabib Survivor Series?
Here we go, man. 4-on-4 elimination champion for the championship. Let's do it. This is exactly what. Are we going to have an octagon where we have four men in the ring? That was great. I mean, watching those guys get into the fight in the ring, UFC, trying to take swings at each other. What is it?
UFC 250, War Games.
War Games, there you go. Bigger cage. Bigger cage. Let's have them all go at it. This seems to be what we're spilling towards, right? I mean, this whole with Brock Lesnar coming back too. This is that whole setup when he came back, you know, and came into the ring after what's his name's fight, Cormier, and you know, they were setting that whole thing up. It's total WWE. I mean, it's all, that's all set up. It's just, that's where we're going, right? I mean, the fight, you know, in the ring, the fight may have been real, but the whole shenanigans, that's going to be the word of the game. Word of the, you know, podcast. It's been, I saw you looking, don't look, and we'll press that button again.
If I press it now, you know what I'm using.
Yeah, I know what you're using. But, you know, it's all a work. It's all a setup for the next show, and then that's what they're doing. You know, they're setting it up for the next thing. It's great. That was just a great brawl. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about that little piece of it. I don't really want to get into the UFC side of it. I'd love to see Conor McGregor come over and do some stuff with WWE. The guy could, you know, Talk. So, and he looked great, and I'm sure he's athletic as hell. Obviously, he knows how to fight. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on the UFC. There, I thought about, you know, we haven't gotten together for a UFC to buy in a while. I thought about it. I think maybe Brock Lesnar's championship match will probably be the next time we purchase a UFC fight and get together for that kind of thing. So, but if you didn't see the Melee, go out and check it out. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, there's every, whatever, 20,000 people that were there, I'm sure have it all on their phones that they posted on Twitter. So,
mm-hmm. The internet on computers now, so that's working out for everybody.
Thank God. Yeah. Where we'd be. Thank you, Al Gore.
Or Al Gore, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. DP, it's time for last call.
Oh, shit.
Let's go.
What do you mean? What do I mean? The last topic of Gimme Five is going to be Last Call tonight. Huh. If you're not down with that, I got two words for you. Tough shit.
Last call. All right.
DPD, DP, Gimme Five.
I'll give you five. I'll give you that it's been too long. We're talking post-op. We talked about this on the initial Gimme Five, number five.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we all know, DPP had a little surgery action. That was last week, Wednesday on the 3rd, as we discuss now. So, I had a little hernia surgery, right in the old belly button there. It was, I don't know if we need to go into all the details of what happened in surgery, but let's just say I'm feeling 1,000 times better than pre-surgery, let me tell you that. But we had the surgery last week, Wednesday. They cut me open. And I've been recovering for a while now. They weren't kidding when they talked about being hard down for a couple days. There was when I got up after the surgery, I was dancing around, you know, because I was still drugged up. So they took me on a walk around around the block of where I was, you know, my room there. And I was walking just fine. I didn't feel any pain. And I started doing a little dance shuffle. I'm like, I'm fine, you know, yeah. Got into the car and oh motherfucker, that hurt. Like as soon as I got into the car, it hurt like a motherfucker. And so I was hard down, laying on the couch, couldn't get up the stairs for at least the first 2 days. I couldn't even, like, it took me 15 minutes to get off the couch basically, because I couldn't even figure out how to maneuver myself, because I couldn't lay on my side because it hurt so bad. So I was just on my back. And, yeah, literally couldn't get up off the couch. It was a pain in the ass. But, you know, we're here 8 days later, and yesterday I got the first chance to actually get out of the house since then. So that was nice. Enjoyed some nice weather, as nice as it is around here, because it's been rainy and shitty.
Mm-hmm.
But some fresh air, at least. And now I can actually, put on clothes by myself. So it's kind of nice. Although, I have two shirts that I've been wearing since then. That's it. This is one of them. And I have one other shirt because they're loose enough that they don't, and they're not dry fit where they won't tug on the surgical repaired area. So they actually feel comfortable. And there's only like three pairs of sweatpants, or not sweatpants, but shorts that I've been wearing because they're stretchy enough that they don't, you know, put a lot of pressure on it. So there's been a lot of washing going on, because I wear this shirt for 2 days. Wear the other shirt, and then I'm like, we got to wash them because I have no other shirts I can wear. So, so that's been fun, which I can't, and that's another thing I can't do either. So right. Like, everybody has to do anything for me.
Main thing is you're doing better.
I am feeling 1,000% better right now for sure. Yeah, definitely. I'm able to walk around now, and I still can't lift anything. Basically, they gave me the weight limit. I can't lift over 10 pounds, so I'm basically trying to not lift anything at all. So, like, I can't even carry my laptop because I know my laptop's, like, you know, 6-7 pounds. So I'm trying to, like, you know, not even carry that around. So it's nice. Got off of work. You know, I'm getting paid to sit here and recover. So that's nice. Right? Got a nice watch list
for it, which is nice.
Yeah, I got that going for me. I watched Barry on HBO. If you haven't watched Barry on HBO, fantastic show. Fucking great.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader. Henry Winkler. Fantastic. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I watched the first three episodes and that was it.
Oh, come on, man.
Come on.
All right.
Come on. Yeah.
God.
No.
Oh. And then I finished all the Marvel books for the history of Thanos and the Infinity Crusades and the whole Infinity Wars to try and catch up on all that and see how it ties out with the movies, and I got through 4 books already while I've been here, so it's nice. It's kind of nice. It's, you know, I haven't gotten too antsy yet that I need to get out and do something, so I'm waiting for that day.
You're going to have to go back to work at some point, friend.
I know.
So don't think you're retired.
I know. It's been nice so far. I know there's I'm not a guy who just kind of sits here. I have to be up and doing stuff, so it's I haven't reached the point where I need to get up.
This is the first step back to work because you're back to podcasting. So,
hey, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, that's been basically the main reason why we've been off for about a week and a half here. Why you haven't heard a podcast is because I've been in recovery. So, but yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be doing something. So that's nice.
No, yeah, you're looking better. I know we've talked a few times, or you're sounding better, I should say, and everything. You look good. So. Glad everything's going well. So just a little update for everybody there. And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of Gimme 5. So, that concludes our edition of the podcast known as DWI this week. My name is PC Tunney. That's DPP right there. You can find me at PC Tunney on the Twitter. You can find him at It's Me DPP. You can check us out at Podcast DWI. You can also find us on Facebook.
At Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
And on Instagram.
At It's Me DPP for all those Brew City Wrestling events.
Yes, and Brew City Wrestling does have Nightmare on Springdale Road coming up the last Saturday in October, or should I say Rocktober. And I believe myself, EP, and Double S may very well be in attendance for that show.
Woo.
For all those tickets, which I'm sure are selling out very fast, you know you try and get them ringside tickets the week of DP and you can't get them. So right now, do me a favor, Flav, and go to Brew City Wrestling 1. That's Brew City Wrestling, the number one, Brew City Wrestling 1.com. And week of the show, expect to hear Mr. Frankie DeFelco himself right here. Next week, I would say look for another edition of Aesop's K-Fables. And we're just going to keep on rocking and rolling right here on the podcast known as DWI. And, of course, always...
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Thank you, Mrs. Platt, or maybe the future Mrs. Platt. I'm not sure.
I don't know about that, dude.
Or whatever. When I hit, whoop. Platt's like,
hey, man.
I don't know about that, dude.
Yeah, shout out to CP. Shout out to Balls. Shout out to DeMarco. Shout out to Big Dave for coming on the show before. And we will be having Kenny Killa back on the program shortly. We had planned to have him on, but I had some work scheduling that didn't work, and also DPP has been in recovery. So things are looking on the up and up right here on the podcast known as DWI. DP, any final thoughts here as we are done pimping? Oh, I'm not done yet. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com / the chair shot and go get yourself a t-shirt. In addition, I thought those new DX t-shirts looked pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, they didn't waste any time making them. It's like they knew it was coming or something.
HB Shizzle knows what's going on. Any last thoughts for the DWI universe, if you will?
No, I'm just I'd just say I'm excited for some baseball because we got our local team there with a shot at the World Series, so it's really exciting for us here. And if you're a fan of the Brew Crew or at least a small market team, come root for us.
My thing is going to be some WWE Network programming that you should check out. And if you have never seen Photo Shoot, I would strongly suggest going to check it out. I went back and caught up on a couple episodes that I haven't gone and checked it out in a while, and there was some that I hadn't seen. Scott Hall, Godfather, they have other names on there. They have Rick and Charlotte doing together. And basically what they do is they show them old photos of their career and then let them tell the story about it while showing clips in between of the storytelling. And it's really a unique way for these iconic figures in WWE history to come in and give you their take on what they were thinking and how they felt when some pretty memorable things have happened. So if you never checked out WWE Photo Shoot, or it's been a while since you've checked out WWE Photo Shoot, go to the WWE Network, check out WWE Photo Shoot, and just click on your favorite superstar, because there's a good number of episodes on there with a large majority of some pretty impressive superstars. So that's my last thing for the WWE universe there. I know we talked a lot about basketball today. We hit the Brewers playoffs, a little UFC, and all our topics on WWE. So I've had a great time. I'm glad DPP is getting even closer to 100%. They've been listening to another edition of the show, DW.
These things is not like the others. One of these things doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other by the time I finish this song?
How did all of this trouble begin?
Living in America.